Welcome to this reading of the Business Record, Central Iowa's Business Weekly. I'm Pat Steele. All material heard on IRIS is intended for the use of listeners with print disabilities. And now here's our first story. McMichael is retiring from Variety, the Children's Charity of Iowa, and Ingham has been named as the new executive director. Sherry McMichael has announced that she is retiring from Variety, the Children's Charity of Iowa, after 23 years in the executive director role. She will step down in September 2024. McMichael said in a statement, "I am immensely grateful to have been part of an organization that is dedicated to enriching the lives of children throughout Iowa. Together we have accomplished so much, and I am proud of the positive impact we have made. I would like to express my heartfelt appreciation to the entire Variety Iowa team, donors, community partners, and most importantly, the families and children we've had the honor to serve." In a press release, the board of directors highlighted Variety's growth under McMichael's tenure, commending her outstanding leadership and commitment to the organization's mission. Wendy Ingham will succeed McMichael beginning in May following a search led by Career Search Associates of West Des Moines. Ingham will work with McMichael over the coming months to ensure a smooth transition. Ingham is joining Variety after 6 years at Orchard Place as the Vice President of Development. Her professional career experiences include nonprofit organizational management, event planning, strategic fundraising, grant writing, and planned giving. Before working at Orchard Place, Ingham spent 8 years as the Director of Development and Annual Fund Coordinator for Youth Homes of Mid-America. She has volunteered with organizations such as the Junior League of Des Moines and the Western Hills Elementary School Parent Teachers Organization. She currently is a member of the Association of Fundraising Professionals and Mid-Iowa Planned Giving Council. She has a bachelor's degree in journalism and communication studies from the University of Iowa. She said, "Growing up in the Des Moines area, I am well aware of the impact and legacy of Variety, the children's charity in the state of Iowa. I have witnessed firsthand the impact of Variety's grants at the charities I've been privileged to serve. I am truly humbled and honored to follow Sherry's outstanding leadership and all of the other board members, volunteers, and stakeholders who have worked so tirelessly to improve the lives of Iowa children. I understand this life-changing work takes a community, and I am beyond excited to meet Variety's many supporters and to work alongside them." Elsewhere, from the March 28th edition of the Business Record, Perry Sanitation Company to lay off 76 workers. A company that sanitizes and cleans the Tyson Fresh Meats plant in Perry is closing, laying off 76 workers in late June, according to a notice posted this week on the Iowa Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification website. The closure of Packer Sanitation Services, also known as PSSI, coincides with Tyson's plan to shutter the pork processing plant on June 28th, a move that will result in the loss of 1,276 jobs. In 2023, PSSI was fined $1.5 million by the U.S. Department of Labor for employing over 100 underage children, some as young as 13, to work overnight shifts in meat processing plants in 8 states. Iowa was not among the states where PSSI was found to violate federal child labor laws. Kinship Brewing property for Waukee is for sale or lease. The entertainment concept would work well at site, says a real estate broker. This is an article written by Kathy Bolton of the Business Record. Property in Waukee that includes the building that houses the financially troubled Kinship Brewing Company is being marketed for sale or lease at a time when an increasing number of tap rooms are closing. But Riley Hogan, a senior vice president with CBRE Incorporated, which is marketing the site, said the property can be used for more than a brewery or a tap room. Hogan said, "This property has lots of different opportunities for large outdoor flexible spaces. It's next to the Raccoon River Valley Trail. It has a large dog park. There's a large outdoor plaza. Undeveloped space around the brewery could be developed into pickleball courts, and one or more of the courts could be put inside the facility," Hogan said. An indoor area for dogs could also be added. The entertainment concept is growing rapidly, and this property allows someone to step in and skip working for two or more years with an architect, construction company, and city, Hogan said. A potential buyer has an opportunity to get their product to the marketplace quickly. Kinship Brewing Company, whose development costs were estimated at $6.5 million, was built on about 6 acres on Northwest Sunrise Drive. It opened on January 1st, 2021, as the pandemic was starting to wane. Less than 2 years after opening, the property was in foreclosure. Court filings show several missed payments to Lincoln Savings Bank, the mortgage holder. A recent court filing indicated an agreement was reached last week between Zach Dobek, Kinship Brewing's owner, and Lincoln Savings Bank. Details of the agreement are not yet public. Dobek opened Kinship Brewing during a time of economic decline and when people were continuing to stay home to avoid exposure to COVID. Nationally, many small craft breweries and tap rooms struggled to recover from the effects of the pandemic, according to Brewers Association 2022 report. Production lagged behind 2019 when 26.3 million barrels of beer was produced. Also, 178 breweries closed in 2022, and that's up from the previous year, according to the association. Information for 2023 is not yet available. Hogan said the economy might continue to play a role in the future of the Kinship site. Interest rates for loans remain higher than they were 2 years ago, and this year's presidential elections causing economic uncertainty, he said. Still, Hogan said, I think we're hitting the marketplace at a good time. The northwest section of Waukee is rapidly growing with the addition of dozens of new housing units, school facilities, and a city park. In addition, the extension of 10th Street north of Hickman Road is complete, he said. He added, people can really see what is going on there and the amount of money that's been invested by both the city and the schools. While our goal is to obviously target breweries, there's also a lot of interest from restaurants that want to get into this corridor. Those restaurants are always looking for opportunities to distinguish themselves from the standard strip mall development, and asking price for the property was not available. And in our weekly real estate column from the Business Record, the headline here is Storage Facility Warehouse Property Among This Week's Transactions. This is a column written by Kathy Bowden of the Business Record. Diamond Investment, located in Ankeny, paid DRA Properties $1.6 million for property on Northeast 67th Place in an unincorporated area between Des Moines and Ankeny. The nearly two-acre parcel includes a 10,000-square-foot metal warehouse built in 2021. The property is valued at $830,000. TKG III Urbandale, located in Columbia, Missouri, paid Hickman Storage $6.3 million for property at 6715 Hickman Road in Urbandale. The 5.3-acre parcel includes 63,800 square feet of mini warehouse space. The facilities were built in 2020. The property is valued at $3.99 million. Sunstone Investments, located in Des Moines, paid Heard Real Estate Services $2.5 million for undeveloped property east of North U.S. Highway 69 and about 1 mile north of Highway 5. The property includes over 15 acres. Now moving to Dallas County Real Estate, Ute Avenue Land Company paid Davis Estates $10.7 million for undeveloped property south of Interstate Highway 80 in Dallas County, an area between Waukee and West Des Moines. Ute Avenue Land Company was formed in September. Records show this transaction was recorded on the 22nd of March. Ronald and Deborah Gebhardt paid Chad and Linda Pennington $1.3 million for about 38 acres of farmland in rural Dallas County. The property is south of 140th Street and west of Upland Avenue. And finally, D.R. Horton LLC, a residential builder, paid JJR Holdings $2.2 million for 49 townhome lots in Painted Woods West Town Platte in Waukee. The Platte is north of Interstate 80 near 328th Place. And a developer says that Topgolf could be open by late summer. The mild winter has allowed construction to progress more quickly than expected. This is a story written by Kathy Bolton of the Business Record. A mostly mild winter has allowed construction of a Topgolf venue in West Des Moines to progress at a rate faster than anticipated and could mean opening the facility ahead of schedule, the project's developer said. Real estate developer Richard Hurd said, "Unless something happens that is unforeseen, we should be able to get it open by late summer or early fall. We were originally talking about opening sometime in the late fall. The weather has been pretty good this winter, and so construction is moving right along." A building permit for Topgolf project located on Mills Civic Parkway was issued last November. The Topgolf venue will include 35,534 square feet of space spread over two levels, according to a site plan. The arc-shaped building will include 72 climate-controlled hitting bays, eight of which will be in luxury suites, the site plan showed. The building will also include a bar and dining area, covered patio, and outdoor seating. The building permit placed the value of the building at $13 million. Topgolf has long been a national brand Iowans have wanted in the state. The Dallas-based company announced in summer of 2022 that it planned to open a venue in West Des Moines. Hurd owns nearly 40 acres on the northwest corner of South Jordan Creek and Mills Civic Parkways, a high-traffic intersection. An average of 20,000 vehicles pass through the area on a daily basis, according to West Des Moines traffic studies from 2023. Nearly five of the acres have been developed. A convenience store and coffee shop are on one of the parcels, a wine and spirit store on another, and Topgolf is being built on about 23 acres. Hurd said he is getting interest about development of the other parcels he owns from businesses that would benefit from traffic generated by Topgolf. Among them are restaurants and general retailers, he said. He added, as with a lot of retail users, they want to see Topgolf get built and get open before they commit to anything. Traffic is what a number of these retailers are interested in. It's there from Jordan Creek and Town Center and will be from Topgolf. And again, that's an article written by Kathy Bolton of the Business Record. Iowa Workforce Development has announced a successful testing period for the ID.me verification method used in the state's unemployment system. ID.me will become the requirement for all claimants starting April 1st. Since the testing period began on January 2nd, over 21,000 claimants have successfully used ID.me when filing a claim with IWD through online self-service, video chat, or in-person verification options, according to a press release. Over 96% of participating claimants were able to complete verification on the first attempt, and in less than 5 minutes on average. Use of ID.me has also helped IWD identify and halt over 1,200 fraudulent attempts to obtain benefits, and you can look on the Iowa Workforce Development website to learn more about the options for using ID.me. The Iowa Tourism Conference has announced its 2024 award winners. They present 24 awards recognizing excellence in tourism industry during the 2024 Iowa Tourism Conference in Des Moines. This week, awards were given in 13 categories, including outstanding attractions, events, dining businesses, and social media executions. In addition, conference attendees voted for the People's Choice Award. Nominees were from the second highest scoring nominations. Amy Ziegler, tourism manager, said in a prepared statement, "These awards recognize the hard work and dedication of our tourism industry partners and the appeal of Iowa as a destination." And the awards winner were, in these categories, outstanding attraction, number one, Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center in Sioux City and Mount Crescent Ski Area in Honey Creek. For outstanding community, Cedar Rapids in the metro and Jefferson in the rural. Outstanding dining businesses, Seven Hills Brewing Company in Dubuque and the Centennial in Jefferson. Outstanding diversity, equity, inclusion initiative, that went to Catch Des Moines. Outstanding event, the Des Moines Arts Festival, and Tri-State Rodeo in Fort Madison. In outstanding individual leader, Diane Van Wingarden of Oskaloosa. outstanding lodging property went to DoubleTree by Hilton in Cedar Rapids and Corning Hotels in Corning. Outstanding marketing collaboration. The two winners there were Council Bluffs Convention and Visitors Bureau and Emerge Marketing Solutions in Manning, Iowa. Outstanding niche market initiative. Council Bluffs Convention and Visitors Bureau and for metro organizations and the Pocahontas Chamber of Commerce for rural. Outstanding promotional materials in the metro division of Cedar Rapids Tourism and rural went to Fayette County Economic Development. Outstanding retail experience. The winner in the metro was Modern Dress in Boone, and in the rural division, Harvestville Farms in Donelson. Outstanding social media execution in the metro, that went to Catch Des Moines, and in rural part of the state, Emerge Marketing Solutions. Outstanding website went to Visit Pella, and the People's Choice Award went to Grow Cedar Valley. So there's the Tourism Awards in Iowa in 2024. Simpson College is going to host a program about U.S.-China relations and will feature former Governor Terry Branstad. Simpson College will present the future of the U.S.-China relationship. It's a conversation with former Ambassador and Governor Terry Branstad. That'll be held from 1 to 2 o'clock on Tuesday, April 2nd, in the Polk Theater at the Blank Performing Arts Center in Indianola. Branstad served as U.S. Ambassador to China from 2017 to 2020 and is currently president of the World Food Prize Foundation. Simpson President Jay Byers will moderate the event, which is free and open to the public. I am honored to have this unique privilege to visit with Ambassador Branstad about the existing climate in U.S.-China relations, as well as the future opportunities and challenges that will shape the two countries' relationship moving forward, Byers said. Given Ambassador Branstad's extensive personal experience in working with U.S.-China relations as both governor of Iowa and as U.S. Ambassador to China, he will have rich and rare insights to share. It promises to be a fascinating conversation illuminating the critical and vastly complex issues that will determine the path ahead for the U.S. and China. Nominations are now open for ABI's First Coolest Thing Made in Iowa competition. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry and Midwest One Bank are partnering for the inaugural Coolest Thing Made in Iowa competition. This initiative aims to bring attention to Iowa-made products and the careers available in the manufacturing industry, which employs more than 225,000 Iowans. Any product manufactured in Iowa qualifies for the contest. Nominations will be accepted until April 18th at the CoolThingsInIowa.com website. Following the nomination period, a popular vote will determine the top 16 products. Products will compete against one another in head-to-head matchups, and the products that receive the highest votes in each matchup will advance to the next round. The public is encouraged to vote once per day, per device, through the rounds of voting, which will begin on April 22nd. Waukee's Planning and Zoning Board has approved a site plan for the second phase of the Town Center project. Developer says to expect more announcements on tenants by late summer. This is an article written by Michael Crum of the Business Record. The second phase of Waukee Town Center is moving forward after the city's Planning and Zoning Commission on Tuesday approved a site plan for utilities and other work in anticipation of an announcement about future tenants. The 62-acre development just southwest of the Hickman Avenue and Ellis's Road intersection will be anchored by Target and include about 300,000 square feet of retail space, restaurants, an amphitheater, an 8-acre lake, a bike trail that connects to the regional trail system, and an ice rink. Development lots are beginning to fill in around the Target, which is under construction. In November, site plans were approved for a Chase Bank and a Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers. Mike Pearson, owner of Pearson's Companies, the Burlington-based firm behind the $132 million development, did not identify what other retailers or companies have expressed interest in the site, but said announcements were expected by late summer. Pearson said he expected that much of what will occupy the Waukee Town Center will be new to the Des Moines market in Iowa. The site plan approved Tuesday is for utilities for those future buildings. It also included construction of a parking lot with 966 spaces and light fixtures. While the site plan was focused on utilities for future development, the parking lot would also serve the Target store. Target announced in December 2022 that it would open a store in Waukee. According to staff report, the plan also provides for open space and a landscape buffer. While Pearson, operating as Waukee Town Center LLC, did not identify future tenants of the development, the plan showed several buildings for future development. Separate site plans for those buildings will be submitted for approval at a later date. All site plans approved by the commission, including the one approved Tuesday, also need approval by the city council. Pearson said the Waukee Town Center will be a destination not only for Waukee residents, but for people across Central Iowa. It will feature unique amenities, dining and shopping, creating a great experience for local families, as well as regional guests that will visit the center, Pearson said prior to the commission's vote on Tuesday. He added that Waukee has experienced recent growth and has made it attractive for this type of development. The Dallas County community, now with nearly 26,500 residents, is Iowa's fastest growing large city. The median age of its residents is 34. Its median household income is $94,371, according to U.S. Census data. The first phase of the development, which includes Target, is expected to have 185,000 square feet of retail and commercial space. Development of the first phase is expected to be completed in summer 2025. The second phase, which includes a site plan approved Tuesday, is expected to be completed by late 2029. It would include 85,000 square feet of retail and commercial space. Heather Behrens, Marketing and Communications Director for the City of Waukee, said the Waukee Town Center's location makes it desirable for the development of retail and restaurants. She said that Target will draw not only local residents, but those from surrounding communities too. And of course, the city is very excited about the amenities that are going to be part of the development. We'll see lots of residents and visitors getting to enjoy trails, a large pond, and amphitheater in the future. Architectural Billing Index showing signs of continued optimism. Billings for architectural firms continued to decline nationally in February, but at its slowest pace since July 2023, according to a leading indicator of construction activity. The moderation of inflation and expected decrease in interest rates are providing optimism for future growth. That's according to Jessica Reinert, AIA Iowa Executive Director. The index had a national score of 49.5 in February. Despite the decrease, the modest slowing and decline shows promising signs suggesting an upturn in business conditions at firms. According to the report, Iowa and the Midwest were the only areas of the country to see an increase in billings with scores over 50. Midwest firms reported growth in billings for the last 3 months, and four of the last five, the report stated. Regional and sector scores are calculated as three-month averages and may not average out to the national score. The Midwest score for February was 50.8. Scores for the Northeast, South, and West were 44, 47.7, and 47.2, respectively. Index scores by sector in February were commercial and industrial at 46.1%, institutional 50.7%, mixed practice, and that's firms that do not have at least half the billings in any one other category, at 47.1%, and multifamily residential 44.9%. The project inquiries index was 56. PSCU Co-op Solutions, a credit union service organization, announced the appointment of Val Davido to Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, and Michael Summers to Executive Vice President, Chief Culture Officer. As PCSUI Co-op Solutions Chief Financial Officer, Davido will lead the company's financial planning and analysis, mergers and acquisitions, treasury, accounting, tax and settlement operations. He will report to Brian Caldarelli, the company's chief administrative officer. Summers will oversee the company's learning and organizational development, facilities and real estate, industry engagement, and diversity, equity, and inclusion teams. Summers will report to Chuck Fagan, who's the president and CEO of PSCU Co-op Solutions. And if you want more information on that, it's available on the PCSU website. Hy-Vee has hired a new chief marketing officer, announced that it has hired Jessica Hendricks to be the West Des Moines-based grocery retailer's chief marketing officer. She most recently was president and CEO of Satachi and Satachi X, and will join Hy-Vee as an executive vice president, chief marketing officer, and president of the company's retail media network. She starts a new position on April 16th. Hendricks was with Satachi and Satachi for 9 years. That company is a full-service and shopper marketing agency of Publix Group. At Satachi and Satachi, Hendricks led a client team that partnered with brands and companies including Procter & Gamble, Wendy's, Kraft, Smucker's, Samsung, and Dreyer's, according to a news release. At Hy-Vee, Hendricks will oversee the company's marketing efforts and work to grow Red Media in its strategic operations. The Hy-Vee brand has always been near and dear to my heart, Hendricks, an Iowa native, said in a prepared statement. The company provides unparalleled customer service, whether that's for a shopper in a store or in how they work with their suppliers. The potential for Hy-Vee to continue to leverage that experience to make a lasting impact in the marketing retail media space is substantial. Hendricks has a bachelor's degree in English, pre-law and marketing from the University of Iowa. She's a member of the Path to Purchase Institute and frequently speaks at industry events like Grocery Shop and the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity. Hendricks has served on the boards of several organizations, including Big Brothers Big Sisters. With Hendricks hiring, Anna Stormer, an executive vice president of Hy-Vee, will transition from the chief marketing officer role into leading Hy-Vee's merchandising efforts as chief merchandising officer. Hy-Vee has launched Red Media in September in an effort to help precisely target consumers with help from data and other means. Hy-Vee has more than 75,000 employees, more than 550 groceries and convenience stores in 8 Midwestern states, and the company has over $13 billion in annual sales. Double Up Food Bucks celebrates another successful year in technological innovations. The Double Up's Food Bucks, a program which enables supplemental nutritional assistance program customers to match purchases of fresh produce made with an EBT card, announced its 2023 success. Last year, nearly 600,000 of Double Up Food Bucks were redeemed for fresh produce, benefiting 44,248 people. The program also introduced digital technology that simplifies participation for both users and participating Double Up Food Bucks retailers. This engagement generated $826,295 worth of economic impact within Iowa. This technological leap represents a significant milestone in the evolution of Double Up Food Bucks program, underscoring its commitment to innovation and accessibility. And that's a statement from Jamie Haberl, executive director of the Iowa Healthiest State Initiative. She added, "By leveraging cutting-edge solutions, the program continues to empower individuals and local economies and promote healthier choices across Iowa." And you're listening to this week's edition of the Business Record. Our thanks to the folks at Business Publications for providing a copy of the Business Record to IRIS so that we can read it for you. If you have any comments on this or any other IRIS program, please give us a call at 243-6833. And now we'll get back to the Business Record. Above and Beyond Cancer has hired a new executive director. Above and Beyond Cancer is a public nonprofit organization that supports people with cancer, announced that Alyssa McKinney is its new executive director. She has been serving in the position since February 19, 2024. She has 24 years of experience in the field and previously served as senior director of development at Unity Point Health, the Des Moines Foundation. She is quoted as saying, "I am thrilled to be joining the team and excited to grow and enhance the incredible programs and opportunities of Above and Beyond Cancer. that it creates for the cancer community, McKinney said in a prepared statement. The Des Moines Fire Department has opened hiring for firefighters as the number of emergency calls continue to rise. The Des Moines Fire Department is hiring crew members to respond to an increasing number of emergency calls. Applications are open until April 15th for the Des Moines Fire Academy's next class of firefighters, set to start in early 2025. Attendees will be trained and certified in emergency medical services, fire suppression, and paramedic certifications during the paid academy. Benefits include a starting salary of $73,000, 5% paramedic bonus after certification, and 1 year of employment, and opportunities for overtime pay. And to learn more about this opportunity, you can visit the City of Des Moines website. The Community Foundation is hosting a conversation on the Capitol Crossroads Roadmap. They will host the latest installment of Donor Connect, a free conversation series for discussing pressing issues for the region at 3:45 p.m. Friday. A panel will discuss the recently unveiled Capitol Crossroads Roadmap for Central Iowa and its impact on students and employers. Panelists include Ian Roberts, Capitol Crossroads Chair and Superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools, Katie Patchett, she's the Executive Director of Capitol Crossroads, Christy Nouse, the President of the Community Foundation of Greater Des Moines, Noelle Nelson, Executive Director of Avenue Scholars in Des Moines, Tasha Brown, Director of Career and Technical Education, Central Campus Skilled Trades Academy, and Wendy Mim Herold. She is the president and CEO of Iowa Jobs for America's Graduation. Registration is requested for the event, and you can do that at the Community Foundation website. The Stelter Company, a marketing company with a focus on nonprofits, announced March 21st the appointment of two employees to its executive leadership team. Zach Christensen has been promoted to Vice President of Strategy, Innovation, and Marketing. Nina Nu has been promoted to Vice President of Operations and will lead cross-functional teams in the areas of sales operations, IT, data security, and project management. Both Christensen and Nu have been with Stelter for 20 years. The World Food Prize Foundation will launch the inaugural Dialogue Next on Tuesday in Washington, D.C. with the theme of Seeds of Equity, Women Driving Growth and Innovation in Agriculture. Celebrating International Women's History Month, the event will explore the role women play in meeting global food security and agricultural challenges. A series of keynote speakers and conversations will highlight women empowerment and equity, agricultural innovation and technology, and the influence women have in fostering peace through agriculture, according to a news release. United States Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa and World Food Prize Foundation President Terry Branstad will be among the 36 speakers at the event, and that features a series of worldwide events. The Dialogue Next aims to create a meaningful dialogue that identifies next steps in alleviating global hunger, according to World Food Prize Foundation website, and you can register and learn more about the event at the World Food Prize website. The Des Moines Area Religious Council announced it will host its sixth annual signature fundraising event, Spring Greens, from 6 to 9 p.m. April 11th at Capitol Square in downtown Des Moines. The event will support the DMARC Food Pantry Network, which helped more than 65,000 unique visitors in 2023. Attendees can enjoy music, food, a silent auction, and a wine poll. To get involved or to register to attend, you can do that on the DMARC of the Des Moines Area Religious Center Council website. Iowa's Rural Main Street Index sank below growth neutral for a seventh consecutive month, falling to 34.5 in March from 38.8 in February. The state's farmland price index also declined, dropping from 54.4 to 51.4. Iowa's new hiring index, however, increased from 45.7 to 46.8 in March. Over the past 12 months, the state's rural Main Street economy experienced a job gain of 1.1% compared to 0.7% for urban areas of the state. The 10 state region's overall reading fell from 46.2 to 38.0, and that's the lowest level since June of 2020. The index ranges from 0 to 100 with a reading of 50 representing growth neutral. Ernie Goss, Creighton University's chair in regional economics, said in a prepared statement, "Higher interest rates, weaker agricultural commodity prices, and higher grain storage costs pushed the overall reading to its lowest level since the early months of the pandemic." Other findings from the report: the farmland price index dropped to 56.0 from 57.7 in February. The index has remained above growth neutral for 52 consecutive months. Goss said that Creighton's survey continues to point to solid but slowing growth in farmland prices. Approximately 16% of bankers reported that farmland prices expanded from February levels. The farm equipment sales index plummeted from 49.5 in February to 30.4, and that's the lowest reading since May 2020. Goss said that this is the ninth time in the past 10 months that the index has fallen below growth neutral. Higher borrowing costs, tighter credit conditions, and weaker grain prices are having a negative impact on the purchases of farm equipment. The loan volume index increased to 79.2 from 66.0 in February. The checking deposit index improved to 62.5 from February's 48.0. And the index for certificates of deposits and other savings instruments was 72.9, and that's up from 60. The new hiring index rose to 52.2 from 49.0. Approximately 87% of bankers reported no change in hiring from February's hiring activity, according to Goss. Home sales index increased to 41.7 from 35.4, and the retail sales index for March dropped to 39.6 from 44.0. And in economic news, the Iowa Economic Development Authority has approved a $56 million local tax break for Google's $576 million Cedar Rapids data center. This is an article written by Sarah Dean of the Business Record. The Iowa Economic Authority today approved the City of Cedar Rapids providing $56 million in local property tax exemptions over 20 years for Google's proposed data center project in that city. The project will be $576 million capital investment, which is the largest investment from an economic development project in Cedar Rapids' history and among the largest in the state, according to the Iowa Economic Development Authority. With a unanimous vote, the board allowed Cedar Rapids to access the state's high-quality jobs program and authorize its local tax abatement provisions. The City of Cedar Rapids had already approved the incentives on its end, pending the board's decision, according to IEDA officials. The project could contain one or more data centers along 76th Avenue Southwest and Edgewood Road in the Big Cedar Industrial Park to power Google's internet-related products, and that's according to Cedar Rapids Gazette. The project would create 31 full-time jobs paying a qualifying wage of $31.44 per hour by the end of the project's performance period in 2031. Under the deal with the City of Cedar Rapids, the 20-year 70% tax break is contingent on Google meeting employment thresholds, according to the Gazette. The timeline included in IEDA's project report has construction slated to begin the second quarter of 2024, with hiring starting next year. The data center is expected to be fully operational in 2026. The IEDA board also approved awards to three other established companies, as well as funding from Iowa State Small Business Credit Initiative Innovation Fund to fund for Iowa startups. And those are Danisco. It's a subsidiary of International Flavors and Fragrances. It plans to construct a new facility in Cedar Rapids for a steam generation plant, which will use natural gas as fuel. The board awarded the $17.5 million capital investment project tax benefits through the High Quality Jobs Program. The project is expected to create at least two jobs incented at a qualifying wage of $31.44 per hour. Weiler, a family-owned business that manufactures equipment for the asphalt paving market, plans to build a 16,000 square foot expansion to its facility in Knoxville and invest in additional machinery and equipment, increasing its capacity to produce parts in-house. The project represents a $16.8 million capital investment and is expected to create 171 jobs, of which 89 are incented at the qualifying rate, a wage of $25.86 per hour. The board awarded the company a $400,000 forgivable loan and tax benefits through the High Quality Jobs Program. Iowa-based CO2 Refrigeration Systems, a manufacturer of natural refrigeration systems, plans to establish its U.S. manufacturing presence with the purchase of an existing 34,000 square foot facility in Marshalltown. The board awarded the project $100,000 forgivable loan and tax benefits through the High Quality Jobs Program. It's expected to create 48 jobs with a qualifying wage of $22.17 per hour. The startups that receive state Small Business Credit Initiative funding are Cellular Engineering Technologies in Corville. It was awarded a $250,000 Innovation Acceleration Launch Fund Award, and that's to pay for key personnel and equipment. It is a biotech company developing optimized reagents and human cell lines for next-generation cell-based therapies. Nora Springs-based Re-Envision Ag was awarded $175,000, and they're to use that for IP development and evaluation, proof of concept work, market planning and entry activities, key personnel and equipment. The company created a planter row system for farmers with seed spike technology that injects seeds with low soil disturbance to optimize soil health and maximize soil carbon sequestration. Pig Easy, a family-owned company in Templeton, was awarded $175,000, and they can use that money for product refinement, key personnel, and market planning and entry activities. They develop products that simplify daily tasks on the farm to improve productivity and efficiency and reduce cost. And finally, Make You Safe Corp, they're based in West Des Moines, was awarded a $500,000 Innovation Acceleration Propel Fund loan to help pay for market and competitive analysis, product refinement, key personnel, and marketing planning and entry activities. The company uses proprietary wearable technology to gather real-time data with the goal of improving worker health, safety, and productivity while reducing worker compensation claims and mitigating workplace risk. And again, Sarah Dean wrote this article and was given some assistance by associate editor Mike Mendehall. The Greater Des Moines Partnership has announced its 2024 federal policy agenda. The agenda addresses the partnership's stance on federal policies that affect issues like economic growth, workforce retention, transportation, and others in the 11-county region it serves, according to a news release. The agenda especially highlights five priorities, which will be the focus of discussion with members of Iowa's congressional delegation during the annual trip that they take to Washington, D.C. in early May. Ann Roth, the Assistant Vice President of Government Relations at Hy-Vee and the chair of the Partnership's Government Policy Council, said in a prepared statement, "We're proud of the collaborative efforts of our partnership investors and members to complete our 2024 federal policy agenda and identify five actionable priorities. We look forward to continue to work with the congressional delegation to advance policies that help our 11-county region and state grow." And their five priorities are these: the Des Moines International Airport, number one. The partnership supports closing the funding gap for the development of the new 14-gate terminal through the Department of Transportation's Airport Terminals Program, which provides $5 billion in federal grants to address aging air infrastructure. Second priority for the partnership is U.S. Highway 65. Designating U.S. Highway 65 as an interstate and instituting a federal increase in weight and size limits on the corridor would support the partnership's transportation goals. Third, housing. The partnership wants to expand housing options through funding and policy, including a conversion tax credit to convert commercial buildings into residential properties. Fourth, child care. To increase child care options, the partnership advocates for the availability of microloans to nonprofit child care centers, which are funded by the U.S. Small Business Administration. And finally, its fifth priority is immigration. The agenda outlines the partnership's support for reforming the immigration process through expansion of the Conrad 30 waiver program to get foreign physicians into medically underserved areas, and the H-1B program for highly skilled workers. And next up in this week's edition of the Business Record is the One Question with Unity Point Health. That's Des Moines Market President John Rosenfield. And he's been asked, is what's planned for the former Care Inn and Woodland Center sites in downtown Des Moines? In a recent Closer Look Q&A for the Business Record, Des Moines' new market, Unity Point Health, Des Moines' new market president, John Rosenfeld, outlined his role at the hospital system, discussed his path to medicine, and pointed out the trends he thinks could define the industry in the next decade. When asked about the next big things for Unity Point, Rosenfeld said that the hospital system is always planning for future growth through its Des Moines area campuses as healthcare needs evolve. Specifically, the Business Record asked Rosenfeld what redevelopment is planned for the former Care Inn and Woodland Center sites downtown on Woodland Avenue and High Street. And here's the question they posed. We're curious, the commercial buildings that were demolished in High Street, what's going on there? Rosenfeld said they were older buildings that needed to go, so we knocked them down. It's good to have some land, so as we think strategically about what we want to continue to do on this campus, it gives us the capacity to do it. So right now, we have no plans for that space, but again, knowing that we're in kind of a landlocked area, it is nice to have the option knowing we have some land, so that as we do look to grow, we have a place to build that next tower, or the next clinic, or the next service that we'd like to deliver to the community. Demolition began on the two buildings at 1300 Woodland Avenue and 1313 High Street in November. That's according to the Des Moines Register. Online data from the Polk County Assessor Office shows that the combined asset value of the properties is nearly $1 million on a total of 2.1 acres. The Woodland Center and High Street has been vacant since 2012, once used for hospital departments, including human resources, advocacy, outreach, IT, and telecommunications, according to the Des Moines Register. The Care Inn on Woodland Avenue, also known as the Inn Tower Apartments, was used as housing for Unity Point's medical students, residents, patients, and families. And again, according to the Register, it was closed in 2022. Elsewhere, workers in the U.S. are among the most stressed in the world, with 50% of employees reporting significant daily stress. To combat this trend, the American Heart Association will host the Iowa Annual Workforce Health Symposium. The sixth annual symposium brings companies together to learn from industry experts on creating a culture of health and wellness to their employees. Those in attendance represent a cross-section of professionals ranging from human resource experts and benefits managers to company health and wellness leaders. The symposium is free and runs from 10 to 3 p.m. The Greater Des Moines Partnership announced that the Spark DSM Business Incubator Program has opened applications. We look forward to the return of the Spark DSM Business Incubator Program that connects new vendors to attendees of major events and intentionally welcome small business owners with diverse backgrounds and product offerings that may be interested in becoming full-time vendors in the future. That's according to Amelia Klatt, the partnership's director of events, said in a prepared statement. Selected vendors will get multiple dates at the downtown Des Moines Farmers Market and access to year-round classes and supplemental education. The program was started in 2022 to serve the downtown farmers market and has expanded to include other events, including the World Food and Music Festival and Out to Lunch. Those interested in participating in these events can apply to be considered. Applications are open year-round. Applicants must be new to the event and meet one of the following requirements. One, they've been in business for 2 to 4 years, have between $40,000 to $90,000 in demonstrated annual sales, or have participated in programming at the Evelyn K. Davis Center for Working Families. And to apply for that, you can look on the Greater Des Moines Partnership webpage. Molly Lopez is moving to the Iowa Economic Development Authority to serve as its chief operating officer. She announced in a LinkedIn post Tuesday that she will fill the role of chief operating officer at the Iowa Economic Development Authority starting this month. In the new position, Lopez will establish operational direction, systems, and processes that will improve the Iowa Economic Development Authority's and Iowa Finance Authority's service delivery, according to a statement emailed to the Business Record. Lopez, who will report to Director Debbie Durham, will also have a seat on the senior executive team and have a hand in strategic planning. Her annual salary will be $184,496. That's according to a spokesperson said in a statement provided to the Business Record. Describing it as an honor to collaborate with Director Debbie Durham and these highly effective teams of professionals doesn't quite capture the magnitude of my excitement, Lopez said. I am humbled, blessed, and grateful for this opportunity to invest in and empower these teams, contribute to the ongoing work of building employee culture, and unite through a strong strategic vision for IEDA and IFA. Lopez will succeed Rick Peterson, who started as the IEDA's chief operating officer in 2019. Lopez has been working as a senior consultant at strategic advising firm Baton Global since 2020. Previously, she held several leadership positions at Amplify Association Management, including owning the company for 12 years. She has also worked for the Iowa Credit Union League and the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. She said, "The alignment is incredible with this position and my long-term experience as a business owner, an entrepreneur in business development, and a culture builder," according to Lopez. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nigg announced that the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship has awarded 26 Choose Iowa value-added grants totaling $463,000 to Iowa farmers, small businesses, and nonprofits in 22 counties. Choose Iowa offers cost share grants which match up to $25,000 per project to support Iowa grown agricultural offerings. This year's grants will support a wide variety of projects, including delivery and cold storage for direct to consumer meat sales, processing for fruits and vegetables, packaging equipment, cider, wine canning and bottling, farm store construction, honey production, cut flower production, warehouse capacity, cover crop seed distribution, and agritourism opportunities. And the organizations receiving those grants include Acorn Bluff Farms out of Columbus Junction. They're going to get $15,432. Blueberry Bottom Farms, that's in Brighton. They'll get a little over $13,000. Breda Ag Solutions, that's in Carroll. They're going to get $25,000. Calix Creek, they're in Oxford, Iowa, and they're going to get $19,586. Champion Steaks in Creston, they will get $25,000. Cordham Farm and Company, they're in Indianola, they will receive $25,000. Haswell Deals Orchard, which is in Jefferson. Ebersold Cattle Company, they're in Kellerton, they will receive $25,000. Engelbrick Farm on Waverly, $25,000. Golden Outdoors, LLC, they're located in Adel, and they will receive $25,000. Honey Hollows Apiary and Gardens in Indianola, they'll receive a grant of $8,473. Whole Q Restaurant in Des Moines, $25,000. The Long Walk Farm in Council Bluffs, they will receive $25,000. Luna Valley Farm Kitchen, they're located in Decorah and will receive $25,000. Marcellus Orchards in Batavia, $4,000. Oak and Olive Flowers in Decorah, they will receive $2,328. Olathe Creek Winery, they're located in Bettendorf, they will receive $25,000. One Farm LLC in Logan, $3,500. Purple Ribbon Beef in Britt, $24,000. Rhubarb Botanicals, they're located in Springville, $6,900. Senate Farms in Lynn Grove, they'll receive $25,000. Sweet Seasons Farm in Kalmar, $15,805. Also, Tailwind Acres in Kreskill, they'll receive $2,400. Treasure Acres, they're located in Blairsburg, and they will receive $3,762. Vintage Beef by Gress Family Farms, they're located in Charter Oak, and they will receive $20,000. And finally, Willis Family Orchard, they are in Adel, and they will receive $22,927. And you've been listening to the Business Record here on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. I'm Pat Steele, and it's been my pleasure to read for you. And we appreciate you sharing your time with IRIS and hope you will join us again next week for another reading of the Business Record here on IRIS.